Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. Today we have Tori from Ready to Be Petty on the podcast, and we are going to be doing an episode all about blind items, gossip, internet, lore, and conjecture about Euphoria. This was probably the most highly requested episode I've had since starting the podcast, so much so that I actually had to start watching Euphoria so I would know what to research and how to put together a good episode on it. So we kind of talk about this in the beginning. Just keep in mind, a lot of the folks on this show and the show itself is super, super new. So there aren't as many blind items as there are, like, I heard this from a friend, I happen to be an extra on the set, here's the gossip. So just keep that in mind. It's an interesting episode. And without any further ado, I'm going to get into it. So here is our episode with myself and Tori from Ready to Be Petty. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. Today, I am joined by Tori from Ready to Be Petty, which I love the name of your podcast, and you were one of the first podcasters I ever really got introduced in. When was it that I was on your podcast? It was like a couple months ago?
Yeah, maybe November, December.
Okay, yeah, and your podcast is, you have such a great chemistry with every single person you talk to. Every single person. No, I'm serious. I'm convinced that you guys have been friends from, like, you know, high school or something, because you just have such a great banter. And you also do pop culture, reality TV, trending topics, like everything like that. Is that how you would describe?
Yeah, it's definitely just a smorgasbord of things that I care about, which is probably to the detriment of my listeners, because they're like, okay, we don't give a shit about this, like, random thing that you care about this week. But it's like any rabbit hole that I've been down, any topic I have a weird fixation on. But yeah, it's like celebrity gossip, entertainment news, all of that fun stuff.
I love it. And I was so excited because I was looking for someone to do a Euphoria podcast with. Thank God you had watched the show.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. You said that you had binged it, but for years, like, it's been around for that long, I was like, I cannot watch Euphoria because even the promos for it are triggering me and making me sad. And, like, why does anyone watch this? I don't know if you watched Skins at all, but it kind of gives me Skins vibes. I'm like, was I just super uncool in high school? Like, is everyone doing drugs and giving blowies in the bathroom? Like, I was trying to ride a horse in high school.
Oh my God. Yeah, my coworker, like an older coworker of mine, was like, so I just got into Euphoria. Like, is this what's happening? Like, in high school? So I was like, yeah, I was, my first kiss was at like 16. Like, girl, I don't know.
Also, like, I had braces for a little bit. Like, is nobody having braces or being ugly anymore?
It's just like, okay, ugly phases don't exist anymore for teenagers, and I'm so pissed about it.
I have seen so many TikToks, and they give me so much joy, especially people of, like, our age bracket, like the millennial type.
Yeah.
Dude, there is something, girls now know how to contour in middle school, I remember putting on blue eyeshadow with those doe tip applicators that looks like a fucking Q-tip, and like, I didn't have a makeup brush. Morphe didn't exist back then.
No, oh my God, it's like you weren't burning your face with astringent every night. Like,
I was eating literally cheese for every meal, and then I was like, I don't know why I'm breaking out. I guess I'll go on Accutane and take drugs for this. And now kids are like, I have a skincare routine and I'm 9. So,
oh my God, it's so annoying to me. But yeah, this was not my high school experience, Euphoria.
No. And you started watching because, I have to be honest, I started binging a couple episodes so I could do this podcast. But you've seen every episode, right?
Yeah, but I do want to point out, like, I'm basically a fake fan. Because I feel like people are going to be like, oh, she binged it last month. Like, where were you in 2019?
No, and that's better, because then it's fresh in your head. That's what I think.
I guess that's true. So I binged the first season after I got my booster and was, like, dead on my couch.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what would be a good show to binge? This one was not it. Like, no. It's so dark. And I think you posted on your Instagram stories, like, a few nights ago, but you were like, why does anyone choose to watch this? And I was like,
it's literally, okay, I had a breakdown. I was watching it before bed, and my poor boyfriend, I went to bed and I was like, I'm so upset, everything in the world is miserable. Every single character, one scene, right,
abusive relationship. Then you're like, okay, well, we'll cut to the next scene. Maybe it's, oh no, now it's a dad who's filming underage child sex and he's secretly gay. You're like, okay, well, maybe you'll be better in the next scene. And then it's like, nope, she's about to get drug trafficked and sex trafficked. Yeah. And then you're like, oh my God, there's no humor in any of this.
No.
And there was an article I was reading basically saying like, TV shows about high school used to be fun. Like Gossip Girl was fun and scandalous. And now I feel like all of those shows got flack for like being too privileged and not being real. And now every single TV show about high school is just like, this probably isn't the right term to use when people are like oppression Olympics, but it's almost this like victim narrative where like the strongest character can only be the one that goes through the most shit. So like if you haven't gotten abused and had a bad run-in with drugs and had an eating disorder, then like you're not going to be a deep enough character for this show about 16-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think you have a point that like Euphoria is definitely like a piece of its time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very 2019 to 2022 with the content that it covers and, yeah, the way that it's so dark and twisty and that they try to cover many different, you know, topics on different shows. And
yes.
I like that. Like, I like that about it for sure. But sometimes it's just, it's so heavy. Like, I was taking Instagram and TikTok breaks during an, yes. like multiple episodes in season one, and I was like, should you be feeling like this, like, and continue like to watch?
It's I think it's one of those shows it's like cortisol is racing through your system as you watch it. It's probably doing a negative impact on your body. And it's also interesting too because we're about to get into each individual person. They're all so new. Other than Zendaya, nobody really knows who these people are. So I think that's interesting. And honestly, I like that because sometimes you see the same old person too many times. Like, we already know who Timothée Chalamet is. You don't need to give him his big break. I like that it's going to people who we haven't heard of before.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm sure we'll get into this, but I think also the newness plays into why sometimes the characters are like unclothed or like put into like really scary situations because maybe they can't negotiate anything different.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of take it person by person. So like I said, a lot of the people here are new. And if you have, if you're someone in Hollywood who has blind items, you've typically been around for a while to have the rumor mill circulating your name. So we're going to kind of go person by person and just give a little bit of an intro about like who they are, how they came into the industry. If they have blind items, I'll talk about them. And then after we go over each person, you'll kind of have like a you'd like the lay down on everyone. And then we can talk about the drama of the show, which has blind items. There's gossip. There's like rumors about why this season is so different and who hates who. So that's how we're going to take it from there. Before we start, anything that you've heard on TikTok that you think might get confirmed in this episode?
I think like the things that I am most intrigued about is like, this is so basic of an answer and everyone's rolling their eyes, but Jacob Elordi, like,
yeah,
it's like, I just want to know more about him. And yeah. I feel like he has a good reputation, but I feel like I'm starting to hear on TikTok and stuff that he maybe doesn't, and like kind of the serial dater, like playboy type things. So
it's also funny how much people, like the character really does rub off on someone. Like, I can't help but think that Sydney Sweeney would steal my boyfriend, even though I'm sure she wouldn't because she plays Cassie. But because mostly these people are so new, that is the only time you've seen them is when they're playing their character. You haven't like also seen them in a comedy and a rom-com and things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Yeah, it's like this is the role. And I wonder if they'll be typecast because this is such a like prolific show, kind of like, you know, like the Harry Potter kids and stuff like that.
I think it will. And I also think, I was talking about this on TikTok, I think everyone on this show could benefit from a PR relationship or at least being linked to someone outside of the show. Otherwise, you're just going to be the Euphoria kid for the next year and you're going to kind of pigeonhole yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Speaking from like a sinister mindset where I'm like, and love has nothing to do with it.
Yes. No, but that is a good point. Like, and we'll talk about Hunter and Zendaya and their relationships and stuff. But like, you're right. Like, this is the time to you know,
get craft up, your, baby.
Yeah, yes, craft the narrative.
Okay, so we're going to start with Hunter Schafer, who plays Jules on Euphoria. There's no blind items about Hunter, but this is just a little bit of background knowledge. She was born in New Jersey, just like me, so I like that. Her father is a pastor. Most people probably know this from Euphoria. She's a trans woman, and she has stated, I found these quotes interesting. She said, I do like people to know that I'm not a cis girl because that's not something that I feel like I am. I'm proud to be a trans person. And then in 2019, she said that she was, quote, closer to what you might call lesbian. And then in December 2021, she said on Twitter that her sexuality is bi or pan or something, which, you know, I'd identify under that vague flag as well. So I think that's interesting. I like her. And she doesn't really have much of like a background.
I know. I think she is the coolest person to come out of Euphoria, honestly.
She's also, not to sound like Kim, but I think she's also the most interesting to look at.
Yes. Okay. Because that cover just came out of all the women on Euphoria.
The cut or something?
Yeah. Yes, on the cut. Yeah. And I was just like, I'm just like drawn to Hunter Schafer. But yeah, she's definitely the most interesting to look at. And like, now the pics of her with Elliot. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about that for a second?
The picture of them kissing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was like, PR. Like, my PR red flags are going off. But they also look so fucking cute. I can't, like, tell
they
what's
do
going
look
on.
Cute. And I do have to say, I had two different people reach out to me. I'm going to be including this in the Substack because it's, like, a listener blind. It's not confirmed. Of course, after we end the recording, I'll tell you. But there was a very interesting person who says that they know for sure that they're PR. So I'll have to tell you that story. Because I thought the same thing, too. I was like, oh, my God, like, dating from the show, so obvious. But it was a really cute photo, and it wasn't you know, so.
This is why I struggle with PR relationships, because I'm definitely a realist, and, like, I'm, like, cynical and, like,
but also,
a pessimist.
Like, even if it's PR, I'll still stand something, even if I know that it's PR. Because, like, I'm here for entertainment. I mean, damn it, I like Cinderella and Prince Charming together, and they're not freaking real, but I still like them. You know what I mean?
So, like, such a good point.
To me, there's a difference between, like, a fun PR relationship and just, like, an eye-rolly, like, Pete and Kim.
Yeah,
like, oh, what are you
ben
guys doing?
Jen. Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, I stan them because, yeah, they're, like, out at Craig's, so I'm, like,
yes.
Okay, obviously, like, the biggest hot spot to get photographed. And then, like, but then I see the videos of them, like, interacting, and I was like, oh, this is too cute. And I just,
yeah,
I wish it was real. But the timing with the season 2 dropping and stuff, it just, I don't know.
I know. Although it's also like, who knows? Well, I'll share the tea with you later.
Okay, yes, please.
Okay, up next we have Sydney Sweeney, who plays Cassie on the show. She has a very interesting backstory. I also think her publicist is like working overtime, because I don't know about you, but before I even watched Euphoria, I was just like, Sydney Sweeney. Her name is everywhere. She's doing a lot of cool interviews. So some information on her. In order to convince her parents to let her do acting, she gave them a 5-year business plan. It was a really cute story where she was like, here's how it could work in 5 years. I would get booked here. Then in my second year, I would get an agent. Then I would be making this much this year, blah, blah, blah. So her parents let her do acting. And there was actually a really sad story where the family ended up moving to LA. She had booked a few gigs, but the money wasn't coming in. And there was one day, 5 years into it, where she realized that she hadn't performed where she said she was going to be in her business plan with her parents. So she started crying and she just had this breakdown. And like a month later, she got booked for something huge. And, you know, she's definitely going to be, I think she's going to be one of the breakout stars in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like she's already booked and busy, but yeah, can only go up from here. And that's such a cute story. When people have those types of stories, even though, like, I don't know, it's like eat the rich, but I'm like, ugh, you deserve it. Like, good for you, girl. Like,
everyone loves, like, a success story.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, she has a bigger repertoire than many other people on the show. She was in Sharp Objects, White Lotus, The Handmaid's Tale. And then she was also in other movies, notably Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is going to be important when we talk about a blind item later. I've heard online that apparently she photoshops her photos a lot. Like, you know, those Instagram accounts that shows the Getty image photo and then like how they posted it. So I've seen her make an appearance on there. She is a trained MMA fighter. She has a TikTok account where she like fixes up old cars, and she is really huge into charity. She's donated over $12,000 to various restaurants in her hometown. And then we also have a lot of kindness blinds about her from Crazy Days and Nights. Now, I will say, I was listening to the Dumois After Dark episode with Enty, and Enty was saying that he knows Sydney Sweeney and he has a good relationship with her and he really likes her. So keep that in mind, because like, you're probably not going to see bad blinds on her. That's since he's the one who writes them. But she had a couple of blind items on the site saying that she had donated a bunch of money to a dog shelter that basically pays for several hundred dogs to be able to be housed for a year until they can be adopted. And then we also had another blind item saying, this illiterate A-minus list actress surprised her neighbor and her neighbor's teen daughter with passes to the premiere of the new season of her show. She also bought them red carpet worthy clothes and got them a limo, which is really sweet.
That is sweet.
We do have one blind about like her using coke, but I'm just like, is that even a blind? Like, everyone anymore in Hollywood is putting stuff up their nose.
Literally. I feel like that's just 99% of blinds are coke blinds. Right?
Like, once they start putting stuff like up their butt or in their ears, then like, give me a call. But if it's going up the nose,
we're good.
If it's up the nose, then we knows. Okay. And then I mentioned that she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because there was a blind about her and Brad Pitt saying, there's nothing illegal about this, but it is odd that this permanent A-list, mostly movie actor is hooking up this holiday season with his most recent co-star, who is just barely old enough to drink while he is nearly three times her age. So
wild.
But also, like, I don't care how old Brad Pitt is. If you get the chance to hook up with him, I'm going to hook up with Brad Pitt.
I was just going to say, just for the story alone, no one's declining that offer.
Like, 100%. Seriously. His name is Brad Pitt. Like, Sheryl Crow references him in, like, the song as, like, the quintessential hot guy. So.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. But, like, creepy on Brad's part for sure. But, like, yeah, I wouldn't say I would do anything different.
Like, exactly. Exactly. Sometimes you read a blind and you're like, I wouldn't do that if I was a celebrity. This one, I'm like, no, I co-sign.
Yeah,
I
would. Yeah. Also, I feel like Sydney Sweeney in my eyes, like, can do no wrong. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's also gorgeous.
Like, yes. Yes.
Her body is ridiculous. We'll have to talk about the extravagant nude scenes on Euphoria once we get into the drama of the show. But, you know, look, I've seen what I've seen, and what I've seen is perfection. So
literally, she reminds me of like Megan Fox in Transformers back in the day. That's my age reference point for everyone.
But everyone's like MGK's girlfriend.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Now Shia LaBeouf's co-star.
Yes, yes. But like, just she's just like the classic cool girl trope that I'll just never be but wanna be. And like, I know that's like playing into a lot of like internalized misogyny, but like, I don't know. She has the effortlessly cool vibe that I have too much anxiety to possess.
100%. That's how I feel about, like, if I see a girl with, like, naturally straight hair, I'm like, I'm jealous of you. You could, you know what I mean? Like, Shrek could have naturally straight hair, and I would be like, I'm never going to be as pretty as Shrek because he has straight hair. Like,
literally, when I found her TikTok account, I was like, of course you fix cars. Like, give us, like, leave something for the rest of us. Like.
And it's so different from Kendall Jenner, because if Kendall Jenner even touched an old car, she would be like, I'm, like, so weird. I hung out with this, like, old car today. And Sydney just, like, does it quietly.
That's so true, the difference between, like, how, like, calculated Kendall Jenner's coolness is and how effortless Sydney's is, because Kendall does like old cars.
Yeah.
She made a big deal about, like, driving stick. okay.
And then she'd preface it, too, with, like, I'm just such a weirdo because I drive stick, and I'm such a little man boy because I drive stick. And you're like, oh, my God, calm down. You're a fucking model.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So up next, we have Alexa Demi, who plays Maddie on the show. I feel like she's kind of like the cult favorite of the series. She doesn't have any blind items, but the main drama around her that you've probably heard is that back in 2019, her age was reported to be 24. And then after the series, or sorry, season one ended, a bunch of fans claimed that they had like a yearbook photo of her, which would mean that her age, if you do the math, would be 31 now, I believe, because her graduation year was listed as 2008. So okay. I'm pretty positive for sure that she is 31 now. And I think the discourse around it is interesting because some people are like, it is so weird that she's playing a high schooler at age 31. I'm like, well, if you couldn't tell, what's the big deal? And also, it would be weirder to see a 16-year-old getting fucked on camera. And also, it's you guys, I'm so sorry, but like Gen Z, not people who listen to this podcast.
Yeah, of course.
They're so weird about age. Like, the minute somebody's 30, they think that they're the crypt keeper. And it's, like, ridiculous. Like, she looks hot. She can play a high schooler. So, like, what's the big deal? Her name also isn't Maddie. It's Alexa. Like, TV is suspending your disbelief and just enjoying it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I feel like at this point, it would be weird for 16-year-olds to play 16-year-olds, like, on TV.
It would be so weird. And then also, just like, imagine if Euphoria actually was played by 16-year-olds. We would not even watch it because we would be like, it is so weird that, like, okay. Well, I was going to say spoiler. People have probably already seen it. But Jules having sex with Nate's dad, if that was an actual 16-year-old, we would all be way more upset. And, like, that is what the show is portraying. But because it doesn't look like it, we're like, oh, my God, it must be fine. I don't know if you watch Pretty Little Liars, but I was like, oh my God, Arya hooking up with her teacher is goals. No, it's not. That's like a 15-year-old with an adult. But because they look the same age, you're like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, totally, totally. Do you remember or do you know if the Skins actors were
older? You know what? They looked a little bit younger, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. But also everyone looked younger in like 2007 or whatever.
Is there something in the water? Like something like, has changed.
And like, yes, I'm bitter about it. People are going to be like, you're like the most bitter person over like nothing. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I am bitter. I'm also creepy and invasive. And like, yes, I have a podcast. We have podcasts where we talk shit about celebrities. Like
literally. But yeah, I'm jealous that just finding, like, I'm like, I actually could post a TikTok about, like, how to update my makeup. I'm at that, like, stage of life. Like,
I honestly, the other day, I asked a bunch of 15-year-olds for, like, advice on my skin. Like, that's where we're at right now. You know what I mean? And literally. They knew. I know.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I do think, like, I really appreciated Degrassi. I'm Canadian. Did you ever watch Degrassi?
Oh, yeah. When Darcy had her stalker, like all of that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, iconic. And they were actually played by people, like, of their own age. And so, like, I do appreciate that. But it also didn't cover most of the topics that this show covers. So
totally.
Yeah, I go back and forth. But I do feel like there are shows that have like characters that are played by the same age, but things like Riverdale and Euphoria, like I really don't need it to be like 16
year olds. Every episode jumps the shark in terms of like trauma, and you know what I mean. So let's talk about, you said Jacob Elordi.
Yeah, I've literally never said his last name out loud, so
like just mean either. So we're gonna say Jacob E. Yes. And he plays Nate on Euphoria. So he's Australian. He was in The Kissing Booth, and he is the first person that we have a shit ton of blinds about, and they're probably not what you expected. So what have you heard about his dating history?
I just know that he dated his Kissing Booth co-star Joey King. And then they broke up, and allegedly maybe he was with Zendaya, and then they broke up. So,
which, by the way, just like immediately reeks of PR. Oh my God, he happens to date his co-star, and then oops, and then they broke up.
Another one.
I found another co-star, and oop, we broke up. You know?
Yes, it's like how the Spider-Man cast has
is
gotten with
dating
all
their MJ.
Yes,
yeah.
Or like even Twilight. Sometimes I'm like, Robert seemed really into Kristen, so maybe that's real. But it's like, I just feel like that's impossible.
It's just all so convenient. And I'm sure it does happen. I'm not doubting that. But like for every single project that you work on, that's like, okay, I've worked at three companies. I haven't found love at the last three yeah. healthcare companies I worked at. But some of these actors and actresses, no matter what project, their soulmate always happens to be on it. It's like, use yeah. your mind.
Anyway. Yeah, 100%. Also, when I found out he was Australian, like, it ruined my life.
He doesn't, this sounds weird, but, like, he doesn't look Australian. He looks very, like, Cali boy.
Yes, he does. But, yeah, the Australian accent is, perfection.
Especially on a man, I feel like it's just, like, the hottest thing ever. So, he has a shit ton of lines, and I'll run through them, but the main gist of the lines is that allegedly he's closeted and he is PRing his way up the social ladder in Hollywood because he is hungry for fame. So
interesting.
We have a couple of lines about he dated Kaia Gerber, Cindy Crawford's daughter, and this is an interesting one. Her family was distressed she was into women, so they have set the offspring of a permanent A-plus lister up with the guy and made sure that the tabloids wrote it all up. And that's about how she was first spotted holding hands with Jacob, and that sparked a bunch of dating rumors online. And then we have a bunch more blinds about this, saying, you know, the actor dating the celebrity offspring of a permanent A-lister is doing it all for the show. He has a longtime boyfriend. And then we have other blinds saying that, like, he dropped his girlfriend off at home and then hooked up with a guy, about Jacob and Kaia. And then this one was interesting, saying, to kind of bring the PR aspect into it, it says, and there is the payoff for the serial cheating A-minus B-plus list actor publicly being the boyfriend of the celebrity offspring of a permanent lister. Whatever. There's the payoff for Jacob dating Kaia. A monthly magazine cover all arranged by the A-plus lister. And there was a Vanity Fair article saying, like, Jacob is a classic romantic, and just in an interview painting him in a great light. And allegedly that article was acquired because Cindy Crawford had connections to the magazine. So she hooked him up with it in exchange for dating her daughter.
I low-key believe all of this because wasn't there, like, rumors about Kaia dating Kara?
Yes, there were. And, like, by rumors, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure they were fully dating. Like, I've seen the pictures of them at Coachella and, like, the scandal around her age gap. And then there were also rumors about her and Pete Davidson. And, like, everyone knows Pete Davidson is the go-to PR relationship guy.
Absolutely. So, like, this kind of tracks from that logic.
There were also pictures of Jacob and some guy. Once I find them, I'll post them on Instagram this week. And they were, like, spotted kissing on the cheek and being cozy. And then people were like, the news article was literally, which this always kills me, they were like, Jacob and his good guy friend, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, history will remember them as friends. I'm like, you know, I just don't know. My guy friends don't really kiss each other on the cheek out in public. Even me and my most affectionate girlfriends, unless I'm sleeping with them, I'm not kissing them on the cheek in public. You know, you just...
Totally.
That's kind of a big thing to do. It's more than just, like, a shoulder touch.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially, like, in the U.S. and Canada, whereas, like, lots of other cultures, like, kiss on the cheek. Just
down in Aussie,
people.
They be kissing on the cheek, yeah.
But yeah, same with Australia. Like, it's... Yeah, it's... I don't know. I also find it, like, interesting, and maybe I just haven't read this, but are there, like, rumors or just gossip that he's a big playboy? Because I feel like his, like, rap sheet of girlfriends does remind me of Taylor Swift's, like, whirlwind of, like, boyfriends.
Yes.
Back in the day.
So the one blind said that he hooked up with a guy. The other blind says he has a longtime boyfriend. That was with Kaia. Then we also had a little bit of blind items with him and Olivia Jade, saying the celebrity slash former network reality star who escaped jail because her parents took the fall, it's got to be Olivia Jade, has now entered the world of contract dating. And that was about, like, there were pictures of him and Olivia, like, working out and, like, holding hands and stuff. And then we had another blind saying, as I told you a couple months ago, the contract between the A-minus list offspring, blah, 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 and her boyfriend ended. It is just now being made official to the news media. And there was an article that came out saying that, this was for Kaia Gerber, that Kaia and Jacob had broken up after a year of dating.
Yeah, I totally, like, I see this like as what it is. And I think it's, I think that this is like all true. Like, because Olivia Jade, I feel like in the moment seems like a good idea, but like for him, it's not.
100%. And it's interesting what he allegedly is doing with, we only had one about him and Euphoria. I mean, we have lots of gossip, but The Blind said, this one named former Disney actress turned whatever tries to continue and fool the public that her current relationship is real. It didn't work out so well the last time she did it. And that was about Zendaya, Jacob, and Tom Holland. Because remember when they were like, oh, Zendaya and Jacob went on like a movie date and they were like out getting coffee and stuff like that. To me, it looked like a cool lesbian chick getting coffee with her gay best friend. You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like two cool people hanging out. It didn't seem, I mean, whatever, who knows? That's just how I saw it.
Yeah, for sure. And Zendaya, like with Tom, do you think that that's real? Mm-hmm. Like, they just bought that like no, apartment I have in it, London?
I have it on authority that they dated in the past, but what's happening right now is for PR. And that house, by the way, is his, and he's making like a bunch of renovations to it, which is why it has that huge price tag associated with it. And I think like she gave a quote or something saying that she was like going to come visit him. So like the article that came out being like they both bought a house that they're moving into, it's like he already had the house, he's making renovations, she's going to come visit. It just looked like a PR fluff piece.
Yeah, that has to be it. And yeah, I was kind of surprised of Zendaya and Jacob Elordi. Like, they don't seem like they would date each other. They seem like they would be friends.
They do. So let's move on to the Zendaya. She has a good amount of lines. We'll do a little bit of background on her. She started her career as a child model and backup dancer. Obviously, most people probably know her from Shake It Up. Also, the Spider-Man movies. Also, Casey Undercover. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Whenever that comes up on my TikTok referencing her, it's yes. Like, this app knows me too well. Like,
so many people forgot about Casey Undercover, but it is out me. There. And then she was also in The Greatest Showman. What I know her for most is just being fantastic on the red carpet. Yes. I get visibly excited to see every single thing that Zendaya is wearing. Mm-hmm. Like Sydney, she's also huge with volunteer work. She gives back regularly to charity, and she's also spoken out about many, many issues before on the internet, which I feel like, you know, it's one thing to donate. Not a lot of people speak out as often. She's also a vegetarian. I thought that was interesting. And she said, my main reason for being a vegetarian is that I'm an animal lover. It's definitely not because I love vegetables.
That's mood. So cute. Yeah.
And I just don't think anyone could say anything bad about Zendaya. She had one scandal, and this was at an event that happened at the 2015 American Awards. Afterwards, the TV show Fashion Police was covering the look. Yes. And I remember this when she happened. Her hair was styled in dreadlocks, and I forget who the hell it was on Fashion Police, but they described her hair that it looked like it smelled of patchouli oil or weed. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was in high school, so I guess I was like, oh my God, that's mean. Looking back on it, she was 18 at the time. Like, what are you doing commenting on an 18-year-old? And she wrote the classiest response ever back on Instagram. She said, there's a fine line between what is funny and disrespectful. Someone said something about my hair at the Oscars that left me in awe, not because I was relishing in rave outfit reviews, but because I was hit with ignorant slurs and pure disrespect. To say that an 18-year-old woman with locks must smell of patchouli oil or weed is not only a large stereotype, but outrageously offensive. I don't usually feel the need to respond to negative things, but certain remarks cannot go unchecked. And that's a better statement than I've seen many celebrities give.
100%. Yeah, it's straight to the point, and yeah, is absolutely correct. And that, yeah, I'm sure that was like Joan Rivers or Juliana Rancic, or I actually like remember this happening.
Yeah.
Even though it's from 2015, like I probably watched that episode of Fashion Police live. And yeah. I think like we, at least for me, like as a white person, like we don't deserve some of these like articulate and like thought out statements and like respectful statements. Like,
yeah, a respectful statement in response to something like outrageously offensive.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like definitely like this deserves like screaming and yelling and like upset and stuff like that. So
to quote Maddie, like Zendaya could have responded with "you cunt" and that would have been perfectly acceptable, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, she's just a class act, and yeah, totally co-sign like all of her outfits. I'm sure everyone loves to dress her, and she just always looks so cool. And I love when she ties her outfits into like the movie's themes.
Yes.
Because I would try to do that too. Yeah. If I was a celebrity.
And I think Gemma Chan has done that for Eternals and things like that. It just, it's fun. Like, it's fun, and that's what you want from your celebrity. So
yes, yes.
We have a bunch of blinds about her, and a lot of the blinds are similar to Jacob, saying that Zendaya is allegedly closeted with a long-term girlfriend and just doing these PR things as part of contracts or to sell the show. So there are a couple things. Also, keep in mind, by the way, all of this stuff is alleged because it also says that Tom Holland is closeted. And I'm like, can we get a damn straight person out here in Hollywood? You know what I mean? Like,
literally now it's just like everyone's queer.
Everyone. Yeah. So there were a bunch of blinds saying that the former Disney actress is way closer to coming out of the closet than her actor boyfriend. And that's about Tom Holland. We had one saying the management team and her agency are scrambling. It seems this young former Disney actress wants to come out. She is tired of pretending otherwise, but her team is scared she won't ever get to that A-list level, which is so close. They want to find a boyfriend for her who will stick this time. And there's a couple quotes recently about Zendaya saying that she wants to, quote, make a love story about two black girls, and just like kind of hinting at wanting to create this kind of queer content, which I think is interesting. Blah, blah, blah. There was one that was really interesting, too. Let's see here. I thought this one was interesting. The publicity team of this foreign-born A-minus list actor / superhero have really been trying to push the actress' girlfriend to take a selfie in bed together. Apparently, that is going much too far for the actress. She is rarely willing to do anything more than a side hug. Doesn't that just make you like, what the hell goes on in these board meetings? They're like, we want one selfie in bed, and the sheets are Brooklinen and tag ad in the caption. And she's like, no.
But like, actually, that's how I picture it.
Did you ever watch that episode of 30 Rock where they talk about PR relationships and Jenna Maroney dates James Franco?
No, but I should watch it.
It's so funny. And they have they just talk about a bunch of things. And one of the things in the contract where they're setting up their fake relationship is James Franco is like, you know, once a week I'll take you to Jamba Juice, and because of a contract with Jamba Juice, when we break up, our fight has to be in a Jamba Juice. Yes, and like, yeah, they're promoting. Yeah, yes, I was like, oh yes. My god, that's good stuff.
Well, it's kind of like how people are speculating that the Kimye divorce was sponsored by Balenciaga.
Yes, isn't that crazy? I mean, they got their name out there.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
no, so it was either free sponsorship or it was paid, because the name was circulating.
Yeah, but that is how I kind of picture it. Like, sometimes when I think about, like, real couples, real celebrity couples, I'm like, a lot of the content that you, like, know that it's legit is, like, when they slip up and post something, yeah, like, from bed or something mm-hmm. like that. And you're like, okay, this is, like, real. But nowadays, I'm like, was that slip up even real? Like the Pete Candle situation. So
the Pete Candle, for anyone who doesn't know, Pete was being interviewed in his like disgusting slop of a bedroom anyway. And before the interview started, he got a candle with Kim Kardashian's face on it, and he literally moved it, and he said, oh wait, I have to get this in the shot. Which is like so weird. So weird.
It's so weird. But I think back to like Caitlin Bristow from The Bachelor and her relationship with Sean Booth, and like, she literally accidentally posted a Snapchat picture of them in bed. And it's like, oh, that's legit.
Yeah. Oh.
That's the proof I needed.
Especially if someone looks ugly in it, you're like, oh, then you yes. know for sure it's an accident.
Literally. Yeah.
And then I'll save some of these for later, but There was another blind saying this closeted one named former Disney actress could have gone the beard route last night, but chose not to disrespect her new girlfriend. We shall see how long that lasts. And that was about, I think, the 2019 Emmy Awards, and she showed up solo to that. So I don't know if her and this secret girlfriend are allegedly still together, but I will say I think folks in Hollywood have a larger chance of coming out if they are dating someone rather than just like, you know, oh, might as well put my career in jeopardy for like no good reason at all. So
yeah, that's for
we'll
sure.
see what happens. Okay, Barbie Ferreira, is that how you say your name? She plays Kat on Euphoria. Mm-hmm. So she was born in Queens. She's Brazilian. She's openly queer, and she was a model before she got into acting. I think she did a lot of stuff with American Apparel.
She did.
And a lot of the rumors about her is, have you heard about her past on Tumblr?
No.
So she was big on Tumblr back in the day, very like aesthetic page. I think she was... She had a big Tumblr following and a Twitter following, and she was caught using the N-word more than a few times on Tumblr. And then I'm pretty sure, okay, it is insane. There was only one TikTok account I found with screenshots. I have searched the internet, and they were like, the Euphoria team has cleared these screenshots, but so many people have the same story. So apparently, she said the N-word a couple of times, and when she was confronted about it, she said that she was half black, so it was okay for her to use. It's just, like, this whole weird situation. I will post the TikTok I have with screenshots for it, but that's an interesting thing that, like, not a lot of people are talking about. So,
yeah,
there's that.
That's so disappointing, because I really like her, but, like, hard reconsider right now. Like, yeah. It's happening live on the podcast. So,
yeah. So,
oh, that's we'll so see. Disappointing.
And she's never really spoken about you would think if it didn't happen, it would be a very easy rumor to squash and not have on the record. So, who knows? Then we have Maude Apatow. Is that how you say her name, Maude?
Yes. Yeah. Judd's kid.
Yeah. So, Judd and Leslie Mann's kid. She began acting at the age of 7, and she was actually a contributor of Zooey Deschanel's website, Hello Giggles, which shout out to Molly of Trend Lightly for that one. She starred in Girls, Other People, The King of Staten Island, and of course, Euphoria. And probably because of her acting parents, she has no blind items. So, only her eyes.
She is like the. I think I saw this on Twitter or something like that, but like the one child of famous stars that I don't mind that there was nepotism, like clearly, like her getting these roles, she seems very charming.
Yeah, and then you look at someone like Olivia Jade and you're like, take it all away, please. So
yes, exactly.
Then we have Angus Cloud, who plays Fez on Euphoria. Wait, does he? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. He grew up, I think, in East Oakland. Oddly enough, the majority of his family lives in Ireland. So, g'day. I'm not even Irish, but whatever. He was scouted by a casting agent while he was working at a chicken and waffles restaurant close to the Berkeley Center in Brooklyn. And he thought that the casting agent was scamming him because she was like, oh, would you be down to do an audition? But she didn't really say what it was for. And he's like, what the hell is this? Are you scamming me? So that's interesting. He has a rape accusation that has been following him a bunch of places. Have you heard about this?
No, and I'm so sad because I just got on, like, the Angus Cloud train. Well,
don't be sad because this one is... Not, it's so hard to say, you know, like who's right with something like this. No one ever knows except the two people involved. But it does seem like a little bit of a shaky accusation from what I've been able to see about it, because they're, you know, it's all internet conjecture. There aren't really any articles. But a girl tweeted saying, you know, do not idolize this person based on his character in the series. I can't bear to watch you guys finate him. Know that he and his character have nothing in common. Then her tweet went viral, and apparently Angus's lawyer started reaching out to her, and then she was like, you know, I'm never going to back down, and other people were like, I support this, and I think she posted something on her close friends about it that was screenshotted and started going around the internet. But then some people found her Reddit account, and on there she had said years ago that she had hooked up with him consensually, and she had told a story about that. So there's a lot going on. I don't know much about it, but, you know, it's something that you won't read in a news article, but I have heard about it on the internet. These are some more rumors about him. Allegedly, he is friends with some not-so-great people, and he's been inviting them to events and, like, fancy things that he's going to, and they have been stealing things from the events that they go to because they just kind of grew up doing that. They say, quote, some of them have drug gang affiliations and some of them are just hangers-on. It's the definition of a person in the wrong crowd. Now that he's getting more opportunities, someone should point out that these people have reputations and are going to bring him down with them. So that's kind of interesting. And allegedly, he has had a few fashion companies reach out to him, and in the future, he'll be modeling, and he has a few ads planned for Ralph Lauren.
Oh, what a... That's such a random company. Like, they're so American, like, straight-laced polo shirts.
I feel like it would kind of work because of that, you know? Like, I'd love to see him in Ralph Lauren, because I have not seen him, or, like, in Brooks Brother, Banana Republic.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's really interesting about, like, the friends stealing stuff. That I don't know. I think that's kind of funny.
So then we have a couple more. Like, we have, you know, Faye from the show, and then we have Sam Levinson, the creator. But just for the sake of time, let's, like, move into the tea of what's going on with the series, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically what everyone's saying is season two feels very different than season one. It just feels a little bit mismatched. A couple people, like, you know, Kat on the show basically have no lines, and people are like, what the hell is going on? So this is what I have heard. Almost all of the rumors about storylines being rewritten because of those, you know, personal relationships and entanglements are true, which to me sounds insane. I always thought, you know, you don't want to be an actor or actress because what if you hate someone but you have to work with them? Yeah. I always thought you would just still have to work with them, not you could get things moved around because you put your feet in the ground and refuse to do something. You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, look at Kim Cattrall. She had to stick around for two movies.
And I think that's the kind of benefit of being in an ensemble cast, is that, like, you know, if Nate wasn't in the show wouldn't really work. So you kind of do need everyone. So I guess you kind of have to bend to everyone's demands. But then, you know, sure, you get to win out in the storyline for Euphoria. But then the downside is, good luck getting booked again in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get booked, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. So
people have been saying online, oh my God, Jacob and Zendaya are bitter after their breakup, things like that. I don't think it's true, because to me, it just sounded like it was a bearding situation and Jacob is really just climbing the career ladder in Hollywood. Not that, like, oh my God, I don't, you know, me and Zendaya are nasty because we ended bad after our relationship. I think he just comes across as fame hungry when you read his blinds, and Zendaya comes across as not interested in playing the Hollywood game. So she probably would be like, well, I don't want to be associated with him. He's like a career leech. We just run in different circles, you know?
100%. That, like, totally tracks.
Yeah. And then we had rumors saying that Jacob and Hunter apparently don't get along. And there were a bunch of rumors saying that the storyline this season between Nate and Cassie was apparently supposed to be between Nate and Jules, but it got rewritten because Hunter was like, I don't fuck with Jacob. And she had unfollowed him at a point, I think back in October. And this is when there were pictures of Jacob and Zendaya together. So everyone was like, oh my God, they're bitter. What do you think? Because I haven't watched season one, but people are saying Nate and Cassie make no sense and Nate and Jules make so much sense.
Yeah, so I've been struggling with this information too, because the, like, a huge storyline in season one is that Nate, oh my God, why am I blanking
Jules?
On Hunter? Yes, thank you. Nate likes Jules. He's on a gay dating app, finds Jules, just like his dad, and then they text for a really long time. He doesn't reveal his identity, but I think he knows it's her, and then they meet, but this is, like, after Nate had found out about his dad assaulting Jules, etc. And then the storyline, like, literally just fell off in season two, and we didn't see, like, any scenes of them together. But in this most recent episode, this is
there's
a spoiler.
One scene
alert.
Of
Can I say this?
Oh, yeah. It's like, okay. You should have watched the show.
Yeah. It would be a week old at this time. True Euphoria stans will have watched it. But there's a scene where Nate gets the tape back for Jules, and, like, it kind of ties up that storyline. So
and
to
can
me,
I say something too? Like, I didn't see season one, but that was a great, like, there was palpable chemistry in that scene. It made me really want to watch all of their scenes from season one, because I was like, I don't even know what happened with them, but, like, you could cut this sexy tension with a knife.
100%. I really wish... why am I saying I really wish they got together in the show? Because Nate is, like, literally the biggest...
I know, but, like, they're also all fictional. I've seen so many TikToks where people are, like... some girl did a video where she was like, outfits that I would wear to get Nate Jacobs' attention. And they were like Cassie based. And everyone was like, why would you get Nate Jacobs' attention?
He's
and
I'm terrible.
I'm like, okay, yeah, he's terrible. But also, like, he's a fictional character. Why would you make a TikTok comment about it? Go scroll and live your life. Like, yeah, you're like, not going to save Cassie from Nate. They both don't exist. They're fiction. You know what I mean?
Yes, and sometimes I need to be reminded of that.
But it's like, you should be able to indulge in fiction when it benefits you. So, like, the idea of, like, ooh, what if Nate and Jules got together and, like, you know, but it was actually fun. Like, that's a fun thing to think that doesn't send stress throughout your body.
Yes, yes. Like, I would hope it would be a loving relationship, yeah, exactly. A respectful relationship. But, okay, so I was like... So they are, like, they tied up that storyline and I thought that it made sense. And then also I'm seeing all these TikTok compilations of, like, all these secret, like, stolen glances between Nate and Cassie. And then also in season one, I think episode one, he's teasing her in front of his guy friends. He has, like, some of her nude photos, etc. And it almost is like how guys tease someone, not saying that this is right, but tease someone that they like.
Yeah, like, I'm going to pull on your pigtails because I have a crush on you.
Yes, which is gross for sure. But, like, I just think that that's what it was depicting. So for me, it makes sense. Also, Nate wants someone he can, like, control and who will, like, worship him and stuff. And that it just makes sense that that's Cassie.
Yeah. I think by the time the finale comes around, we'll know if this had a grand plan or if it kind of went the Game of Thrones shithole route.
Well, that's what I hate this. I hate when real life ruins TV shows like Grey's Anatomy and, like, I don't know, other TV shows that I've watched.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. So annoying.
Let's see. Oh, then also a bunch of people, let's see, blah, 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 blah. Oh, also people were saying that allegedly Maddie's character, Alexa, feels like her character isn't being given enough time, which I would kind of agree with. I feel like there hasn't been that much of a focus on her as much this season. And people are trying to get Sydney and Jacob for other projects. So that's conflicting with the show because they're kind of being pulled to work on other things, which I think is interesting. Okay, now let's talk about the whole Kat situation, aka Barbie, and how she's not really in this season. So this is allegedly what happened, and I just read this on, like, a gossip forum yesterday, so who knows if it's true. We had heard that she didn't like the way that her season, or that her storyline was going for the character this season, and she wanted it rewritten, and they fought, and then he went, you know what, instead of having it rewritten, guess I won't see you. Like, you won't really be in it much. And I was like, what the hell is the storyline? So allegedly, she views her character kind of as an extension of herself, so she's really tied to the character. And this season, they wanted Kat to develop an eating disorder and deal with a bunch of extreme self-hate. And her character was allegedly supposed to almost die from this eating disorder, and Kat didn't want to do it. She just felt like it was a bad example. She liked how empowering her storyline was last season, things like that. So they butt heads, and her entire storyline was cut. And they were saying that, like, it's really hard when there's a vision for a character, but you can't do it because the actor just says that they're not going to film it. So maybe she'll be replaced, maybe she'll be written out, who knows. I just know if, like, she fucked up an entire storyline for a season, like, are they going to want to have her back next season if she even did that at all, allegedly?
Yeah, and I don't get how this works, but if you sign a contract, can you just say no to a storyline?
I wouldn't think so. Like, I remember Emilia Clarke giving so many hints for Game of Thrones, being like, I was really upset that, like, my character turned into a genocidal maniac within the last two, you know, episodes, and I worked on this for years, but, like, you can't just change it, you know? Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But I also totally get when you are, like, acting, but it's rooted in maybe, like, lived experience.
Yeah.
Like, that... you would have some emotional you know, baggage with that, and you might not want to do it. And that's like super, super valid. So
I guess it's also different when you're on a TV show, because like, let's say you have an experience with sexual assault and then you're seeing there's a sexual assault. I completely understand how that could be so triggering. You just don't want to do it. And I'm sure if you audition for a movie, you read the entire script, you know what you're dealing with. But if you sign on for a TV show and then next season there's all these things that you previously didn't want to do, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder totally. How long those contracts last and if you get to vet everything.
Totally. And it sounds like the storylines are kind of written like half haphazardly. I don't know what just on a whim. Like, it just seems like they change, not all the time, but it seems like there's been some things that have been up in the air. So maybe she just didn't know like fully the extent of what she was going to be asked to do. And or maybe she tried it and she was like, yeah, can't do this. Like, I don't want to go down this road. But it really sucks because I loved the character of Kat. And it like, her and Sean not being in season two, I feel like has left a big hole in the season. So,
well, speaking of things that seem like they just kind of happen on the show, so many nude scenes. And we have gotten quotes from some of the actresses. People are like, Sydney Sweeney's tits are out in every single episode. Do they have to be? Like, is this moving the plot forward? Like, no. And we had Sydney Sweeney come out and be like, look, there is an intimacy coordinator on set. I feel very, very comfortable. And, you know, the scenes that I pushed back on, I said that we shouldn't do. And Sam was like, great, no worries, we don't have to do it. And she probably was like, that's a good interview. And we all read it and we were like, you mean he wanted to do more?
Yeah.
That's fucked up because you're already naked 17 times. More than 17. And then Chloe Cherry, who plays Faye, also said in an interview, there's this scene where she like climbs up into like an air duct or whatever, and allegedly she was supposed to do that naked, and it was her first scene, and she was like, I don't think I need to be in the air duct naked, and she kind of had to push back on it. And it's like, good God.
Yeah, like, it just, it makes sense for certain scenes and then it isn't necessary. And like, the air duct scene, that's not necessary. So
no.
I don't love the, I like go back and forth because I'm like, nudity on television like has the potential to represent, you know, different bodies, normalize different bodies. It has the potential to just like destigmatize sex and like bodies, and like, people have such weird shit with all of like sexuality, and yeah, so I'm like, it has such great potential, but like, so I'm like, oh, there's such potential for this, but then I'm like, sometimes it does seem unnecessary. Like,
and it's weird too, because like, I was trying to find like little blinds and dirt for this episode, so I typed Sydney Sweeney into Reddit, and all that comes up are all of her posts in these subreddits where people have made GIFs out of her boobs and slowed it down. And I'm like, yeah, I watched this and I'm like, oh, gratuitous scene, she looks good, but like, whatever. Someone else watches it and like literally takes their cock out, you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, yes. My God, like, she's fixing cars. I don't want her to be in subreddits and people talking about her this way. So
that's a really good point. It's like, there's, yes, that we're watching it in a different way than certain people are. But I think like, yeah, if they're comfortable with it and if she feels comfortable with it, then that's great. And if they feel comfortable vocalizing when they're not, like, that's
great. That's really all that matters. You know, even if I was upset, as long, who the hell cares? As long as they feel okay. Yeah. I just do wonder if like 5 years from now, Sydney Sweeney's going to look back and do an interview where she's like, you know what? I really wasn't okay with it, but it was my first big break. So like, I felt like I had to do it.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the Emrata.
Yes. The blurred lines.
At Emrata. Yes.
At Emrata.
Yeah. Like, just of like, sometimes you just, yeah, you think that that's like your big break or whatever, and you might be pressured into doing something and you might not have the wiggle room to be able, like Zendaya, again, classically, like, this is talked about all the time, but has a no nudity clause in her contract. And it's like, well, maybe Sydney Sweeney just didn't have the wiggle room for that because she's not like a household name. So those are the type of things that I'm like, is that someone taking advantage of someone?
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll see. I also think it's interesting. A couple of people on TikTok were like, oh my God, Drake's an executive producer and all these teens are naked. I bet there's something sinister going on. And as much as I love a good conspiracy theory, I'm going to call, you know, a little bit of bullshit on that one, just because being an executive producer is such a fluff credit. Mm-hmm. It basically just means that he financed part of the show, but he didn't have any input. So he might have paid for this, you know, half of the entire season to be done and didn't even know what was going on until he watched it. Like, there's such a spectrum of what an executive producer could be. But this whole idea that, like, Drake is sinister, Lee trying to get these actors and actresses like naked so you can see them on screen along with everyone else. This sounds so gross, but like, if Drake wants to see, like, he would invite Sydney Sweeney over to his house or like have a casting couch. And like, that sounds bad, but like, that's what, you know, what does Drake get out of having a nude scene in the TV show and then everyone else watching it along with him? Like, I don't think that's the way these abusers' minds work.
Yeah, totally. I'll say I did not know that he finances / executive produces the show.
Yeah, so I mean, he comes up as an executive producer at the end if you watch the credits, which like typically we're traumatized with the end of the episode.
Like, sorry. I'm sobbing, sorry.
My eyes are blurred. Like, and I like shakily go onto the Reddit forum and I'm like, does anyone else?
Literally. I'm like self-soothing at that point. Like, exactly. I'm not watching the credits.
I'm lighting a candle and I'm like focusing on my breathing. Yes. But yeah, his name comes up in the credits, and typically it's someone who finances the movie, or it's like a fluff credit. So I don't know exactly like if he did or how much he paid, but you know. And then just the very last thing here, because I know I've already taken you past the hour, but someone on the show who works with Sam Levinson did talk about, because everyone's talking about the rumors, like, you can't watch the show without somebody being like, this season is so different because they're all fighting. And somebody said, the only clarity needed is that they are rumors and you should be skeptical of them. Which, by the way, like, is that how I should start every podcast?
Yes, I kind of love that. It's like the Laguna Beach credits, like at the beginning, like everything is real or whatever it was.
Yes. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Also, I'll have to, you know what, I'll take your email and I'll add you onto the Substack so you can read this upcoming Monday, because I will say two folks wrote in. I was like, anyone who has a blind item with a little bit of proof, there is, I should pin it on my Instagram, but you can submit your own tea and then I'll give you a free lifetime subscription to the Substack because, you know, self-made. I want to give back a little bit for the juicy deets. And two people wrote in, you know what, I'll cut this out, but I'll tell you it right now. Okay, so I'll cut it back in now. But anyway, after that little tea spill, what are your thoughts for the rest of Euphoria? Basically, what do you think is going to go down? And do you believe the story that the blind items kind of spin here?
Yeah, I feel like, so I'm a gullible person. So I feel like I'm hook, line, and sinker on a lot of these blind items. Like, especially like Jacob being a social climber. And
what about Zendaya? I love the idea of Zendaya having a secret girlfriend, and I don't know if it's just because I think Zendaya is too cool, but I'm like, she can't be straight. I just don't see her with a man. I really just don't. I see her with another woman, and I see her, that's just what I see, that's just what I feel in my gut.
Yeah, so this was my question for you, and then I'll tell you my Euphoria thoughts before we wrap up. But when people have long-term partners that they like hide and do PR relationships, how do they hide them so well? I feel like that's my like biggest puzzle piece to believing these.
So, okay, so this past week, or I guess last week when this comes out, I did an episode all about Swiftgron with this girl Cam from
I've listened. Okay. Yes.
Have you listened to the What I Will Say podcast with Sean?
No, but so, it's on my list.
So Sean's the anonymous name. And if you just go to the What I Will podcast and you search, you know, oldest first, I'm pretty sure it's the first two or three episodes. And Sean she dated a pretty well-known musician in Hollywood, and the musician was closeted. And Sean talks a little bit about that experience and how Sean would come on set as like a makeup artist who just like wouldn't be doing makeup, or like a hairstylist who, you know, like, oh, they're part of my crew. This is what they do. And a few people knew, but not everyone. And they were talking just about the experience of bearding in Hollywood and how it typically is someone who like isn't well known, but they are just like, oh, this person, like they're my stylist for a year or something like that.
So they can hang out together all the time, but
yeah, but it won't raise eyebrows and things like that. So it was a really interesting episode because, yeah, you have to wonder.
Yeah, and I guess that makes sense. Like, if they're not in the celebrity eye, like, why would we take note of them if they're in, like, the background of some picture?
Exactly.
With the, like, celebrity.
When I look at Zendaya's phenomenal outfit on the red carpet, I'm not, like, zooming in to, like, someone's shoe on the bottom right corner and being like, that same shoe has been following her for a year, you know?
Exactly.
I'm sure someone is, and I appreciate the work that they do, but...
Yes, yeah. We'll yeah, it's see. More maybe, like, misdirects and, like... just your eye gets drawn to something else or whatever when you're like walking into a restaurant or whatever.
But I don't know, just like in my gut, I do not believe Tom and Zendaya. It's just like, also same with Nick and Priyanka, this is probably fucked up, but anytime there's like a height difference too, I'm like, that looks odd, which is like completely I was just raised the wrong way.
It literally like
but like, Zendaya looks like such a woman and Tom looks like a little boy, and I just don't get the vibe that he's as innocent as everyone thinks. I think he's like a little bit of a fucker.
Yes, yes, he does give off vibes in interviews.
Like, okay, and everyone's, I didn't realize I was so passionate about it, but everyone's like, oh my God, like he made a whoopsie in an interview. He keeps spilling secrets. And I'm like, this is an act. He is pretending to be Golden Retriever Boy. And I'm pretty sure he's one of those guys who's like, I can't use a condom because it doesn't fit on my penis. And it's like, everyone can use a condom. Yeah. It's just how I see him.
100%. Like when... And, like, it seems staged when he's always, like, I saw this clip of him on the red carpet. He's being interviewed. And then, like, Zendaya's car pulls up. And he's like, oh, just wait 1 second. Like, I have to watch her, like, entrance. Like, she's stunning. Yeah. I was like, okay. Like,
it is so, I am so sorry. All of these moments that people are clipping and being like, oh, my God, goals. There was, like, one thing where he's doing the Spider-Man thing. And people are like, oh, Zendaya's looking at it because, like, that's how he fingers her. And I'm like, if anyone fingered me that way, I would be so upset. She's probably looking at it because he looks like a fucking idiot, because it's not as cool when there isn't a spider web coming out of it that's added in by the special effects department. You know what I mean? So
100%. Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe she was looking at it going, that's what my secret girlfriend does to me. This is how my brain works. I'm like, so insane.
Literally. But I never got the Tom Holland type or the short guys dating tall girls. I know that's like cancel us, but like,
cancel us.
I saw pictures of Sophie Turner with Joe Jonas and I was like, yes. He doesn't deserve her. Like,
dude, 100. And I say this, I am 5'4. I dated a guy once who was 5'4 and I once dated a guy who was 5'3. So I have dabbled in the short king arena. Both of them treated me like shit, by the way, so maybe I'm a little biased.
Literally.
Okay, anyway, I've taken up way too much of your time, but no, any final thoughts on Euphoria? And I'm just like excited to see. This is what I love about PR relationships. Are Tom and Zendaya going to last until the springtime? Are Hunter and Dominic going to last until the springtime? We shall see. We shall see.
Yeah. I'm just excited for the season to end so I can have
I can be
a mental
calm.
Break. Like, that's excited, the plot line I'm excited for, me becoming mentally well.
Whatever happened to New Girl, you know?
Yeah, like literally. Literally.
So yeah, I think it'll be exciting and everyone can find you. Are you on TikTok, by the way? Because you reference TikToks and I'm like, do we follow each other?
Okay, so I don't want to get into this on the pod, but I do have a TikTok account just so like my username was saved. I have a face for audio only podcasts.
absolutely not. Also, okay, like, thank the gods. I use the beauty filter on TikTok for every video. If I didn't, people would block me.
Stop. I just, like, it's a self-esteem thing. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, will I make TikToks eventually? Yes. Is this fucking cringe that I'm saying this out loud? Like, yeah.
It's not cringe at all.
I need, like, a cigarette. Yeah. Like,
right. No, I don't. Someone was like, oh, I want a video version of the podcast. I tried to do it once. This is not me saying this to be funny. I literally made a consultation with a plastic surgeon the next day. I was like, I didn't realize that my face is uneven and my chin is different on one side. And also my eyebrows are kind of low. Also, my skin is disgusting. I was like, and the space on my upper lip, I couldn't find something I didn't like about myself. So
literally, I will edit my podcast and I'll be like, your breathing is annoying. Like, the way you breathe irritates me. Like,
well, I also get reviews where people are like, she swallows too much. And I'm like, maybe I should kill myself.
Fuck. Like,
maybe I should stop swallowing.
Literally. But yeah, eventually I'm going to dabble in TikTok. And I know it's like, everyone's like, well, the aesthetic is no aesthetic. And like, you just show up as yourself. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. I grew up where you put a fucking lacquer on your face before you go on the internet. Like,
yeah.
So, like, yeah, I'm trying.
Okay, so eventually you'll be on TikTok. But in the meantime, you are on Instagram.
Yes.
And you obviously are on podcasts everywhere, Ready to Be Petty.
Yes, that's where you can find me.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, Kate, thanks for having me. This was a dream.
All right, huge thank you to Tori for coming on this week. And like I had mentioned in the episode, in our Substack newsletter this week, it drops every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, whatever. Basically, it gives you enough time to listen to the episode, and then you can get the Substack newsletter in your inbox. I have a section on there where folks can drop in their own celebrity encounters or information that they have, and I just want to shout it out because this week we have two different listener-submitted items about Euphoria. One is about their interaction with Alexa Demi working on the show, and then another one is something that they saw between Hunter while they were in New York City. So if you want to check that out this week, we have more niche blind items on Zendaya. We have blind items on Kanye related to kind of all of the Instagram craziness that's been going on and more. So head over to fluentlyforward.substack.com and I will see you guys next Monday. Bye.